You know, I get asked, Scott, why did you put over 2,500 videos on YouTube? And when it comes down to it, part of it was just a drive for me to create. Part of it was a drive for me to hold records. And then part of it was just to do something cool and different.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today is a perfect day. I'm sitting here in my office, figured I would do this episode of the How to Sell Show today. And, you know, one of the most common questions that I get asked is, Scott, why so many YouTube videos? So as of today, I just launched video number 2,400 on my channel, 2,400 YouTube videos on sales training. That's not including my body language or my travel channel. So like as of today, I probably have pretty close to 2,520 YouTube videos. And, you know, I look back in time of what it took to get here. And the answer isn't so short. There's no like, hey, this happened. So I'm going to have to tell you probably like four or five different stories about why I uploaded over 2,500 YouTube videos. And so let's start when I was a kid. I had articulation disorder. And, you know, when you listen to little kids sometimes and they can't put words and syllables together and they talk like really funny, like that's the problem that I had. But I had it like to an extent that was crazy. I couldn't put like even my own name together. I couldn't put Scott together. It would just come a sot. And the crazy thing was about that I got made fun of a lot. I got teased a lot. People would be like, I can't understand you. I can't hear you. And I had uncles and, you know, uncles do what uncles do. And, They would bring me around their girlfriends, and they would make me say Elmer Fudd. And let's just say this way, I could not say Elmer Fudd without getting in trouble because it did not come out that way. And I look back on those times, and you know, in my life early on, everybody says I don't want to listen to you. Nobody's going to listen to you. Be quiet. You know, I got five brothers and sisters, and they say that stuff anyway. But I got made fun of a lot, and. You know, I wish I could go back and say, like, back in time that I made a resolve, a commitment that I would do something to be something important. That would just be ridiculous. I was like 6, 7, 8 years old. But I always wanted to do something cool. I always wanted to do something that allowed me to say what I wanted when I wanted. And this is about where the conversation of YouTube began. So in June of 2014, my house got broken into. And they got all of my gear. They got all my backup hard drives. They got all my backup thumb drives. They got three laptops. I mean, they got everything. The frustrating thing was I had a bad internet connection the night before, and I was trying to upload stuff to the cloud. I was trying to get the book that I just finished. I had a book titled Self Sabotage. Just trying to get this book uploaded, and I had to be. At an event first thing in the morning. So I left my house at 5:30. I left all of my laptops out. And somebody got all my laptops, all my hard drives, all my computers. They got a bunch of other stuff too. But, you know, hands down, the most important stuff to me they got. And I was in a funk, to say the least. You know, a house got broken into. They stole tons of stuff. So it just so happens about 6 weeks later, I'm texting back and forth with my good friend, Deb Cole. And, you know, Deb wrote the first book on Twitter, Twitter Revolution. So, you know, she never talks to anybody. You got to text her. And so we're texting back and forth. And she's like, Scott, you're in a funk. I think you need to come up with, we need to come up with a challenge. You know, you have like 200 YouTube videos. Could you put up 100 over the next 100 days? And I'm like, ah, heck yes. Challenge on. So, you know, I sit down and I'm like, man, it's going to be a problem. I got to come up with all these YouTube videos. I got to come up with content. I got to figure out what I'm going to say. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. How am I going to do that? How am I going to make all this happen? And so I made this list. You know, I made like a couple of videos. Like, what do I want to talk about? What's on top of my mind? And I make this list of 100 videos. and I go for 100 days. You know, I see like the gurus back then, nobody, like echoing, wah-ha-ha-ha, nobody can go for 100 days putting up YouTube videos. And so I did it. And so, you know, went from like, let's say August, September, October, November, I get to about December and I'm like, I could probably do 100 more days. I think I got content for that. So I do December, January, February, get to March. I'm like, I still got a list of another 100. I could do 100 more videos. You know, March, April, May, June. You know, I could probably do another 100 videos. And it just went from there. It just went from, you know, let me go shoot some videos, 100 of them, to 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And right now I'm at 5 years, 6 months roughly of putting up a YouTube video, at least one every day. Now, I do have to put an asterisk next to that. In May of 2018, I lost my father. I missed 6 days. I just emotionally couldn't handle putting up YouTube videos. I mean, I hope that people can forgive me, but 6 days roughly out of 5 years, 6 months as of right now of me doing YouTube. And, you know, there's a couple things that I've learned about shooting videos. Now, most of my videos are done outside. I have an office. I've got a studio, and I don't like being in a studio. There's just something about it. There's something about being outside. So I always shoot my videos in cool locations. I'm typically at the beach. I'm way creative at the beach. So I have 1,000 videos on Oahu, Maui, and Kauai. I've got 1,000 videos in Sacramento, and then 500 spread out over the United States. I think 70 in Texas, 70 in Florida, another 120 in Las Vegas. I mean, everywhere I go, I shoot videos. I got a couple down in San Diego. But, you know, for me, it was where can I shoot videos? They're going to be cool, have a cool background, and I'm not going to be the guy in a suit and tie. Don't get me wrong, love wearing the suit and tie, but what I love is Ren Spooner Aloha shirt. So of the 2,500 YouTube videos that I have up, I think 2,350 of them are in Ren Spooner Aloha shirts. You know, I want to encourage you that no matter what you do, there's going to be struggle. And no matter what you do, it's going to be tough. My first 500 YouTube videos, I look back and I'm like, whoa, I talked way too fast. It was too much in sped up because I wasn't comfortable in front of the camera. The videos were chunky because, you know, video editing was not as easy back then as it is today. So I want you to think about something. For every video that I shot back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you know, 7 years ago, depending upon when you're listening to this podcast, for every minute of video, it took 3 minutes to render. So I want you to think about how much time I have wrapped up in editing videos. So, you know, the first 100 videos, if they're 3 or 4 minutes each, you need to multiply that times 3 and then by 100. So 900 minutes plus recording time. There was a ton of time. So there's been quite a few things that I've learned. One, editing is pretty rudimentary now for me. It's pretty easy. And once you do a task over and over and over again, it gets easy. Two, if you're going to be in front of a video camera, there is a certain amount of being comfortable with the way that you look and the way that you sound. And I got this friend, Roberto Monaco. Roberto Monaco came to the United States with nothing, speaking Portuguese. He's Brazilian. And, turned out to be one of the top salespeople for Anthony Robbins because, you know, he had some pretty good presentation skills after all. Well, he said something to me, I want to say in 2008 or 2009, that really stuck with me. And it was this. He said, you know, Scott, you look the same on video as you do on the security camera in Target. And you sound the same way to other people as you do when you're talking to them anyway. You just hear it differently in your head. Those two things by themselves made it okay for me to go out and shoot video. I would say that it took me about 1,000 videos for me to be perfectly comfortable in front of a camera without it bothering me, without me thinking about it, without me going, where am I at? Back those days, you know, I had to lug a video camera everywhere that I went. So I had this really nice Panasonic video camera. I think it was $1,000 or $1,200. And over the last couple of years, the cameras in cell phones have gotten good enough that, you know, I don't need to lug this big giant camera around anymore. I still have a version of it because, you know, that got stolen too when my house got broken into. But for you, you know, whatever you do, whatever whatever task that you're working on, whatever you decide that you're going to do, is it's going to take work and effort. And there's going to be times where you want to give up. And there's going to be times where it just does not feel like it makes sense to keep going. You know, I didn't do the YouTube videos for notoriety. I did them because, you know, there wasn't a lot of good sales training when I came up in the world of sales. I started in sales in late 2002, early 2003. And back then, you know, you could buy a book, you could go to live training, you could hire a coach or a mentor and maybe do something over the phone or maybe do something over email. And I really struggled. I sucked. I was probably the 10th worst salesperson on the planet. And I would go out and I would try to find information and it would just be like, it would be like the information was recycled. I went out and I think I bought 20 or 25 books on sales. And so you got to remember, this is 2002, 2003. There was probably maybe total titles of sales books out, maybe 80. So I think I bought a quarter of them or a third of them. And I read them all. And it got to the point where everything just started sounding the same and it was missing information. And so I went online and I want to say 2005, 2006, Jeffrey Gittimer had some guy's work recommended. It was Dr. Kevin Hogan. He had a body language course. And I'm like, that sounds fantastic. I've always been interested in body language. I'm going to take that. And then I started buying books on psychology and decision making. And I just kind of went as many different directions as I could. And so, you know, I'll shoot YouTube videos and I'll talk about topics that, you know, maybe I haven't ever seen a sales trainer or sales coach, persuasion or influence person ever talk about. And it's funny because, like, you know, there's a lot of taboo topics in the world of business that you're not supposed to talk about, like the world of feelings. And the cool thing about like a podcast, YouTube channel is you can literally say whatever you want. As long as it's interesting, people will pay attention and listen. There are a couple of things that you learn from shooting videos that you have to talk in chunks and you can't just ramble on about nothing. So like right now I got my show notes in front of me on my laptop and I'm like, there's topics that I've hit and a few of them are out of order. But when you're on video and you're presenting, you know, everything's under scrutiny. Your background's under scrutiny, your clothes under scrutiny, the coloring of the screen is under scrutiny. And especially these days, since all this stuff could be corrected with apps and it's really easy to pay attention to. But for you, there's a lot of communication things that you could pick up from whether it being a recorded podcast, whether it recording some sort of quick video for a client. So I'm going to give you a couple things that I found that really help. Like, you speak in bullet points, and the more that you try to script something out, the tougher it is to shoot the video. So here's one way to get started. It's not the only way. It's just one way that I found that helps. Get one topic and see if you could talk for about 3 sentences on it. Because that's about what a soundbite would be in the news. And most people are very long-winded, and they talk way too much about topics. Persuasion is simplicity. There's a copywriting coach that says that. And your job is to learn to be comfortable in front of a camera. And, you know, moving forward, you really don't have excuses to not shoot videos. And they don't have to necessarily be YouTube videos. You could decide to shoot videos for a couple of different reasons. You could shoot a video for a client for a follow-up. You could shoot a video for a client about their new product after they buy it and give them kind of a, like, congratulations, here's your video for the unraveling of your product. You could shoot videos on how products work and do walkthroughs for buyers so that they can see what's going on. And, you know, like, there's an added benefit that nobody ever talks about with this. Let's say that I need to meet with you. Hey, how's it going? I'm going to be meeting with you. So let's say that you need to buy a television and somehow you contact me from some sort of lead source or magnet and you get a hold of Scott's TV. Scott's TV Emporium. I don't know, it sounds crazy. So you contact me and you're like, hey, Scott, I'm in the market for a 65-inch Samsung flat TV. You know, I want all the bells and whistles. And so instead of me just emailing back and saying, yeah, I got them in stock, they're $1,000, I could go out and I could grab a cell phone. I don't even need a video camera. I could grab a cell phone and record a quick message that says, hey, I'm going to walk you through what a 65-inch Samsung television looks like. Here's all the inputs. Here's all the sizes. Here's how heavy it is. And oh, by the way, here's a video of me talking. And here is where the magic happens. When somebody sees your face, when somebody hears your voice before you meet with them, there is a certain level of rapport that you have. So all these videos that I shot were so that I could help build rapport and people would recognize me if I was at an event. They'd be like, oh, there's the dude with the loud Aloha shirt. I was at an event in San Diego for Traffic and Conversion Summit, and I went to an early party, and everybody's dressed up like Steve Jobs, you know, black shirt, black slacks, you know, turtleneck, and, you know, I'm here at an internet marketing party. And then there's me. I got the loudest, brightest Aloha shirt on, and everybody started calling me Aloha shirt dude, right? And then so like then they're like, oh, you got a bunch of videos on YouTube, I'll go find you. But it's just one way for you to connect with people, that people are like, hey, you know what? I see what you look like. I hear what you sound like. You know, it's just a shortcut for rapport. And I did it because, one, I wanted to be really good in front of a camera. You know, 2014-ish is where the Ice Bucket Challenge came out. And there was people who you could tell were really nervous in front of a camera. Two, I wanted really good content online. I really wanted to help salespeople. Three, I thought it would be cool to be able to say that I went for 100 days in a row with doing a video every day, and then 200 days, and 300 days, and 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you know, almost 6 years of YouTube videos every single day. It's a ton of content. So I want to encourage you that, you know, there's a lot of things that you could do when it comes to building content. And if you wanted to start a podcast, you could do it easily for under $100, easily. You know, you don't need all the top gear. The microphone that I'm on, you could get away with getting one that's one quarter of the cost. The Audio-Technica ATR-2100, these things are like $65. And they could plug into an XLR connection, which will go into an audio box, or they can plug from a micro USB right into your laptop. So for $65, you can get started. You're like, hey, Scott, I want to go a little bit more. Well, you know, you can get an audio interface that the microphone plugs into. It's got better preamps. You know, those things could be about $65. It can go all the way up to $2,000. You know, but for $100 to $150, you can have content for a podcast, for a recording, so people at least get used to your voice. For a YouTube video, I mean, you could grab a cell phone and you could do this on a cell phone, iPhone, or even a Samsung or an Android, and then you could get editing software for pretty much free. Some of the places do it up in the cloud. You know, it could be $9 a month or $10 a month. Like, you're out of excuses. You have the ability to build rapport with people like you would never imagine these days. Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.